Brahmachari. Jaya Radha Madhava Kunja Bihari. Jaya Radha Madhava Kunja Bihari.
जय ओम विष्णुपाद परमहंस परिव्राज काचार्य अष्टोत्तर श्री श्रीमद हिज डिवाइन ग्रेस अभय चरणारविंद भक्ति वेदांत स्वामी श्री प्रभुपाद की अनंत कोटि वैष्णव वृंद की ग्रंथराज श्रीमद भागवतम की ताई गौर प्रेमानंदे ओम नमो भगवते वासुदेवाय ॐ नमो भगवते वासुदेवाय ॐ नमो भगवते वासुदेवाय ग्रंथाश्वमेध भागवतम कैंटो 3 चैप्टर 13 Text 37. Canto 3, Chapter 13, Text 37. Sa ittham Bhagavan Urvim Vishvaksenah Prajapatihi Vishvaksenah Prajapati Rasaya Leelayo Nittam Apsunyasya Yayau Harihi स इत्थं भगवान् उर्वीं विश्वक्सेनः प्रजापतिः रसाया लीलयोनित्ताम् अप्सून्यस्य ययौ हरिः स इत्थं भगवान् उर्वीं विश्वक्सेनः प्रजापतिः रसायालीलयोनित्ताम् अप्सून्यस्य ययौ हरिः ययौ हरिः स इत्थं भगवान् उर्वीम् विश्वक्सेन प्रजापतिः रसाया लीलयोनित्ताम् अप्सून्यस्य ययौ हरिः सैत्तं भगवान् उर्वीं विश्वक्सेन प्रजापतिः लीलयोनित्ताम् इत्थं भगवान् उर्वीं विश्वक्सेन प्रजापतिः लीलयोनित्ताम् सुनिश्य ययौ हरिः सैत्थं भगवान् उर्वीं विश्वक्सेनः प्रजापतिः रसाया लीलयोनित्ताम् अप्सून्यस्य ययौ हरिः सैत्थं भगवान् उर्वीं विश्वक्सेनः प्रजापतिः रसाया लीलयोनित्ताम् अप्सून्यस्य ययौ हरिः वैष्णवीस् सैत्थं भगवान् उर्वीं विश्वक्सेन प्रजापतिः सायालीलयोनित्तम् अप्सून्यस्य ययौ हरिः सैत्तं भगवानुर्वीम् विश्वक्सेन प्रजापतिः रसायालीलयोनित्ताम् अप्सून्यस्य ययौ हरिः सः हि इत्थम् इन् दिस् मेनर् भगवान् द पर्सनालिटी आफ् गाड् हेड् ऊर्वीं दि अर्थ् विश्वक्सेनः अनदर् नेम् आफ् विष्णु प्रजापतिः द लार्ड् आफ् द लिविङ्ग् एण्टिटीस् रसायः फ्रोम् विदिन् दि वाटर् लीलया very easily unnittam raised apsu on the water nyasya placing yayau returned to his own abode harihi the personality of Godhead Translation and purport by His Divine Grace A.C. Bhaktivedanta Swami Srila Prabhupada. Translation. In this manner, the personality of Godhead, Lord Vishnu, the maintainer of all living entities, raised the earth from within the water and having placed it afloat on the water, he returned to his own abode. Purport. The personality of Godhead, Lord Vishnu, descends by his will to the material planets in his innumerable incarnations for particular purposes. And again he goes back to his own abode. When he descends, he is called an avatar, because avatar means one who descends. Neither the Lord himself nor his specific devotees who come to this earth are ordinary living entities like us. Om Ajnanati Mirandasya Jnananjanishalakaya चक्षुरुन्मिलितं येन तस्मै श्रीगुरवे नमः नमः ॐ विष्णुपादाय कृष्णपृष्ठाय भूतले श्रीमते भक्तिवेदान्त स्वामी इति नामिने नमस्ते सरस्वती देवे गौरवाणी प्रचारिणे निर्विशेष शून्यवादी पाश्चात्यदेशतारिणे वाञ्छाकल्पतरुभ्यश्च कृपा सिन्धुभ्यैव च पतितानां पावनेभ्यो वैष्णवेभ्यो नमो नमः श्रीकृष्णचैतन्य प्रभु नित्यानन्द श्री अद्वैतगदाधार श्रीवासादिगौरभक्तवृन्द हरे कृष्णा 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 हरे 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 राम 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 हरे 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 कृष्णा ग्रेटफुल टू बी हियर विद ऑल ऑफ यू टुडे आई सीक योर ब्लेसिंग्स सो दैट आई कैन स्पीक समथिंग ऑन द श्रीमद् भागवतम सो टुडे वी आर डिस्कसिंग द कंक्लूडिंग स्टेजेस ऑफ द पास टाइम ऑफ वराहदेव व्हेन ही डिसेंड्स टू दिस वर्ल्ड एंड ही हैज रिस्टोर्ड ऑर्डर where there was disorder. And having completed his mission, now, Yayau Harihi, he is returning to his own abode. Now, just a few days ago, I had talked about the concept of avatar. So, I posted that talk on my YouTube channel also. And I got a question there. It was from probably a Christian or someone. He said that, you say that, you know, in our tradition, there are many avatars. In fact, the Bhagavatam says that the avatars are as many as the waves in an ocean. Now, Srila Prabhupada here explains, each avatar has a specific purpose for its descent. So, when the avatar descends, the Lord, he has a specific purpose. In this case, the specific purpose was the atrocities of Hiranyaksha that had caused the earth to get imbalanced. And he restored the balance. And this is something which the Lord comes again and again. So if you consider the number of avatars, they are as big as the ocean. Sambhavami yuge yuge. So they are innumerable. That is the idea. And they are innumerable. They are in one sense unlimited, like the waves in an ocean. And the reason for that is because the Lord's love is unlimited. He has such a unceasing concern for living beings in this world that he descends again and again to restore order. So this contrasts with other traditions where there is the idea that the descent is only a one-time event. Like in Christianity, Jesus came once and he is the deliverer for all of humanity for all time to come. Now this of course raises complex theological problems that who delivered before Jesus came? If he is the sole deliverer. Now Christians have different answers and they say that actually they have only one life, so they have difficulty. It's not that people who were born before Jesus will be reborn after Jesus and they will be delivered. So they say, okay, that time God had a different plan, now has a different plan. But the idea is it makes God's love very restricted. And he comes only once. And there is so much need, so much emergency in the world. So why would the Lord come only once? But then, so the question was, I was making this point, and then the question came that, okay, then there are problems always in the world. Then why doesn't the Lord always be here? Isn't it? If the Lord's love for us is so great, he will always be here. Well, the point is, the Lord is not simply a problem fixer for the world. It is not that whenever there's a problem, the Lord will come. Now, that does not mean that the Lord doesn't care. The Lord does care. There are times of extreme disorder when he descends to establish order. Dharma samsthapanarthaya. But what about other times? That is where, apart from the specific purpose, there is a universal purpose for the Lord's descent. The specific purpose, in one sense, is to establish dharma in society. And here dharma refers to social order. If you look at the way Krishna explains it, he says, paritranaya sadhunam vinashaya cha duskritam. That those who are disruptive, destructive, antisocial, anti-spiritual elements, I sideline them, I neutralize them, I counter them, and then I empower the virtuous people. And in this way, he establishes dharma, he establishes order in the world. Now this is often considered to be the primary purpose. Krishna mentions this in 4, 7 and 8. But then, in 4, 9 and 10, in the Bhagavad Gita, Krishna mentions another purpose. And it's significant that when Srila Prabhupada would quote verses, in general, in the broader Hindu society and the broader followers of the Vedic culture, 4.7 and 4.8 are very often quoted. Dharma samsthapanarthaya. But Srila Prabhupada would quote 4.9 much more. 4.9 is Janma karma cha me divyam evam yo vetti tatvataha tyaktva deham punarjanma naiti mameti so arjuna. He says, those who understand my pastimes, the divinity of my appearance and activities, they become attracted to me. They become devoted to me. They attain me. And how do they attain me? That's explained in the next verse. They become freed from the forces that they bind them to this world. Vitaraga bhaya krodha manmaya mamupashritaha bahavo jnana tapasa putam madbhava magataha. They attain love for me. So, we could say, the universal purpose of the Lord is to establish prema in the individual heart. And this is something he does even when he is not present. Even when he is not there, even when he has appeared and disappeared, still the remembrance of his pastimes is always there. And by the remembrance of that those pastimes, the devotees can for all time, and those who are devotionally minded, they also can become elevated. So if we consider, this is say the spiritual level, and then below that is the material level. So avatar is one who descends from the spiritual level to the material level. The Lord descends, he stays for some time, and then he departs back to the world. And after some time, another avatar will come. After that, he will also depart. So like this, it goes on throughout history, intermittently. Sambhavami yuge yuge. The Lord appears, the Lord disappears. And this keeps going on. But what happens is, while he has appeared over here, in these periods, he has demonstrated his pastimes when he has descended to this world. And Kunti Maharani, in the first canto of Srimad Bhagavatam, the 8th chapter, during her prayers, she analyzes the mystery of why the unlimited Lord would choose to enter into this limited world. Why would he descend? And she gives various reasons. Oh, because the earth is burdened by demons, because virtuous kings like Yudhishthir were tormented, because the Lord allows the Yadus to please them. And he says that's all true. But there is, in Mimamsa is the system of reasoning. There is said that sometimes the final statement is the most important statement. Like Krishna in the Gita says, Sarva dharman parityaja mam ekam sharanam. That is the most important statement. So there she says that, what is the final reason she gives for the Lord's appearance? Bhavesmin klishyamananam avidya kama karma bhi shravan smaranarhani karishyan iti kechana. That he descends to this world to provide everyone the opportunity to hear about him. Shravan and then smaran. They can hear about him, they can remember him. And then in this way, they can be liberated from material existence. Shravan smaranarhani karishyan iti kechana. So this purpose is in one sense universal. See, all these purposes are contextual. They are specific purposes for that time. But this purpose is timeless. It is universal. So the Lord descends for both. A timely purpose, so this is a timely or a contextual purpose. For that particular context, when there was a demon Ravana, the Lord descended as Ram. So now the nature of the world is that even when order is established, soon that order will lead to disorder. That's just the nature of the world. Even in thermodynamics, there's the principle of entropy, where actually things move from order toward disorder. Sakale neha mahata, that is the power of time. So even when the Lord establishes order, that order will lead to disorder. However, the idea is that the Lord gives us, by his descent, opportunity to establish inner order. Inner order is that, see, generally what do we mean by the word order? Now, the word order is both a noun and a verb. Some people think just by giving orders, there will be order in the world. Life is not that simple. If parents just give an order to the children all become obedient and listen and do everything. Well, it doesn't work like that, normally. But broadly, order essentially means, order comes from some level of hierarchy. If there is no hierarchy, if there is no arrangement in the framework, okay, this is a person who is in charge. If you want to cook food, now everybody has to contribute, but there's somebody in charge. Okay, this is what we are going to cook. There's nobody in charge. Everybody will propose, we'll cook this, we'll cook this, we'll cook this. And in the end, nothing may be cooked. Or what may be cooked may not be a proper meal. So one of the key principles for order is hierarchy. So what the Lord does is, Prabhupada says, on the first purpose of ISKCON, he says is to correct the imbalance between material and spiritual values. So one way to establish order, hierarchy means that spiritual values, these are more important than material values. Material values are also important. This is greater than sign. They are much more important than spiritual value, material values. So yes, material order is important. But spiritual order is even more important. And that is the timeless purpose of the Lord. And that for that purpose, it is not that he is not a person who wants to take all credit for himself. Krishna demonstrates his mood. See, sometimes we use the word mission and mood. We want to understand Prabhupada's mood and mission. Well, yes, we want to understand it. But actually, mood and mission are not one thing. Mission can be one, moods can be many. Prabhupada's mission is one. He wanted to establish Krishna consciousness. But his mood can be different. In America it was different. In India it was different. In India people were not so serious for practicing bhakti. Even after he brought Western disciples back to India and exhibited the potency of spiritual culture. And Prabhupada said, okay, they're not becoming devotees. Let them at least become well-wishers. Let them become patrons. Let them become life members. And Prabhupada encouraged thousands and thousands of people became life members. So if we consider like one journey to rise from, at the bottom is material consciousness and at the top is spiritual consciousness. This is the purpose for which the Lord descends to this world. So when he descends to the world, the mission is one. Srila Prabhupada writes in the introduction of the Bhagavad Gita as it is, and our purpose in writing this book is the same as the purpose of the Lord in descending to this world. And that is to inspire everyone towards spiritual consciousness. And spiritual consciousness at its highest is Krishna consciousness. So this is the mission. But the mood can be different. So there is a universal aspect, there is a specific aspect. So for example, when Prabhupada was say speaking in the West, now, we had people who were, not all of them were hippies, but they were broadly a part of the counterculture. Many of them were highly infected by the modes of passion and ignorance. And from there, Prabhupada elevated them at least to the level of serious sadhakas. Now, of course, eventually, they became elevated. Many of them became completely devoted to the Lord. And by Prabhupada's mercy, many of them have successfully passed the final exam of death. This is what Prabhupada did in the US. But if you consider in India, many people were already pious. So these were pious Hindus. And Prabhupada elevated them. Many of the life members didn't really become 16 round giant. They were following the four regs in their own way. That's just a part of the culture. They never had to consciously choose to follow it. It was just the way they were living. But they never really became 16, not many of them. Very few of them became 16 rounders. Very few of them took initiation. But Prabhupada elevated them to become life members. They gave some contribution. They did some service. So this was his mood in India. The mission was the same. The mood was different. So like that, there is a universal purpose for the Lord's appearance. And then there are specific purposes. The universal purpose is he wants to raise consciousness. He wants to inspire everyone to rise towards love of God. And specifically, at particular times, there might be particular obstacles. So Ravana was an obstacle at a particular time. Hiranyaksha was an obstacle at a particular time. Hiranyakashipu was an obstacle at a particular time. Specifically, the Lord works to remove those obstacles, to counter them as required. And in this way, the Lord inspires elevation of consciousness for everyone. And even in the Bhagavatam itself, or rather in the time of the Lord itself, the Bhagavatam says, Svair Dorbhir. That sometimes the Lord does his mission himself, Swair. And sometimes he does it through others. And this refers to how the Lord himself killed many demons. But then in the Kurukshetra war, he did not raise a single weapon. At least not for killing. He lifted the wheel once to protect Arjuna from Bhishma. But he did not use it. So the Lord works through himself. His mission is fulfilled sometimes himself and sometimes through others. Now who are these others? These are his devotees, his representatives. Now among these others also, there are specially empowered souls, just like the Lord descends from the spiritual world, they may also descend from the spiritual world. So there are others who might descend among the others who become his instrument. Like Arjuna fought the Kurukshetra war for Krishna. And he fulfilled the mission of the Lord. There are those who descend, but there are also many who ascend. Ascend means these may be ordinary souls wandering in the material world, but they come to the path of bhakti and then they start taking the responsibility for sharing bhakti. Now, in one sense, anybody who is practicing bhakti is not ordinary. Because even the practice of bhakti itself is extraordinary. Sudarlabhaha. It's very rare. But I'm using the word ordinary in the sense that they may not have specially descended from the spiritual world. So, once during a morning walk, Srila Prabhupada was talking about the Mahajanas, the 12 Mahajanas. And then one devotee in a glorificatory mood said to Prabhupada, Prabhupada, you are the 13th Mahajana. And Prabhupada smiled and he said, and you become the 14th Mahajana. Now, what did he mean by that? That the list of Mahajanas at one level is given in the Bhagavatam and that's a list, specific list of 12 Mahajanas. But again, Mahajanas are those who actually fulfill the mission of the Lord, who fulfill the purpose of the Lord. So if we consider from that perspective, Prabhupada was saying, at the list of Mahajanas, if we consider the Mahajana, one who is doing something great, who is fulfilling the mission of the Lord. So we can see that list as exhaustive in one sense. There are only 12 Mahajanas. But Prabhupada said, it is indicative. The way Prabhupada put it in this particular context, at least. It's like these are great souls. And the key principle of the Bhagavatam says is, Mahajano yena gataha sapantha. So that we can say this is right, but this can also be right. We are all meant to follow in the footsteps of the Mahajanas. That means each one of us is meant to take up the mission of the Lord. So, take up the mission of the Lord means that we work to raise our consciousness and we help, we assist in the Lord's mission in raising others' consciousness. And that was what Srila Prabhupada did. Srila Prabhupada, when he got the instruction from Bhaktisiddhanta Swami Thakur, I talked with one of my devotee friends is working on a book on Srila Prabhupada's pre-ISKCON life. It's difficult because many of those people who were there are no longer there on the planet. But he's doing research as much as possible. And the idea that Bhaktisiddhanta Swami Thakur met Srila Prabhupada in the first meeting, he told, you are educated, preach in the Western world. So while this itself, the specific circumstance of the meetings was extraordinary, that aspiration of the Bhaktisiddhanta Thakur was not. Bhaktisiddhanta Thakur had repeatedly expressed the desire that his followers should spread Krishna consciousness, spread Bhakti Yoga. The term Krishna consciousness was used by Prabhupada specifically. He says, spread the teachings of Chaitanya Mahaprabhu. That's what Bhaktisiddhanta Thakur would use. That all over the world, especially in the Western world. And Bhaktisiddhanta Thakur even funded a mission of his disciples. He is fully sponsored while his disciples were there in UK. He would sponsor their, fund them. He would also, when they would have any important occasions, actually he would write the whole speech that they would be giving. And the speech would be sent to them. And of course, according to time and place, they would improvise a little bit. But overall, it was very much supported by them, by spiritual master. But for various reasons, that didn't work out. And then after Bhaktisiddhanta Thakur departed, things started becoming disrupted. And then it seemed that the mission had fallen, had just dissipated. But Srila Prabhupada preserved that instruction in his heart. And Prabhupada carried it forward. One time, when some of his godbrothers were criticizing, they're all venerable souls, but when they were criticizing, saying that when Srila Prabhupada came to Mayapur, why did he not come to the place of appearance of Mahaprabhu? Why did he go straight to the Chandrodaya Mandir that Prabhupada himself had established? So when Prabhupada heard this, Prabhupada said that why Lord Chaitanya appeared is important. Sorry, where Lord Chaitanya appeared is important, but why he appeared is even more important. And his purpose in appearing was to Prithvitaya Chetanagaradikram, that everybody, everywhere should chant the holy names. And that purpose we are fulfilling. And then Prabhupada said, I have inherited the legacy of my spiritual master. There are sometimes when Prabhupada would become quite assertive in order to protect. It was not out of his ego, but it was out of his desire to protect his disciples from any misunderstanding. So he said that, who has written more books than me? Who has made more disciples than me? Who has established more temples than me? And this could be seen as bragging, but he said, I have inherited the legacy of my spiritual master. So now, if you consider what is the legacy, Srila Prabhupada did not get anything from the Gaudiya mission. Nothing. He did not get one follower. He did not get one rupee. He did not get one endorsement. Nothing. Endorsement would cost him nothing, but he got nothing from the Gaudiya mutt. But what he meant was that ultimately, if we consider the parampara, what is the legacy that comes down the parampara? The essential legacy that comes down the parampara is the desire to serve the Lord, desire to carry out the mission of the Lord, and that carry out the Lord's mission. That Srila Prabhupada had got. While everybody had got that, but Prabhupada had cherished that. Prabhupada had cultivated that. And Prabhupada had expanded that. When people are materialistic, sometimes if they are craving, somebody's craving for alcohol, somebody's craving for this, even at night they can't sleep because the craving keeps them awake. For Srila Prabhupada, it was not passion that kept him awake, it was compassion that made him wake early in the mornings to write. So that was strong desire. That was the legacy that Prabhupada got from his spiritual master. And that is the legacy he wanted to give all of us. When he was asked, Swamiji, who will be your successor? Different times Prabhupada gave different answers. One time Prabhupada said, whoever wants to be. Now what does that mean? Now that essentially, the way Prabhupada explained it was that, it is not that his legacy is limited in any particular way. Whoever internalizes the desire to serve the Lord, the desire to carry ahead the mission of the Lord, that person will get the blessings of the Acharyas. That person will get the empowerment of the Lord. Empowerment is not the monopoly of somebody who is only specially talented, having some extraordinary abilities. Empowerment is not the monopoly of somebody who is managerially endowed with some positions. No. Empowerment is the opportunity for everyone. Everyone who takes up the desire of the Lord and makes that desire our own desire. Srila Prabhupada defined Krishna consciousness in many different ways. One of the ways he defines Krishna consciousness in the lecture is, he says, when you come in front of the deities, if you feel that Krishna is asking you, what are you doing for me? If you feel that, then you are Krishna conscious. Most people, when they come before the Lord, they ask the Lord, what are you doing for me? I have so many problems in this life and I'm praying. Why are you not solving the problems? So yes, the Lord, that's why I started right from the beginning. The Lord is not our problem fixer. That is not the mood. Yes, when there are extreme problems, the Lord descends. But the idea is, the Lord wants each one of us to take responsibility. Just as Krishna on the Kurukshetra battlefield, when Arjuna became hesitant, Krishna could have just used his Sudarshan Chakra and won the war in one moment. But Krishna wanted Arjuna to take the opportunity and then get the glory. So, empowerment, the idea of the empowerment in bhakti, nowadays people talk about being inclusive. You know, don't exclude anyone, don't be elitist. So, empowerment is not an elitist monopoly. It is not that some people alone have empowerment. No, it is actually a universal opportunity. Anyone who wants to, who just makes the Lord's desire our desire, so that person will get empowered. Now, how much that person will be empowered, that may vary. It is not that everyone will be equally empowered. But we all can do much more than what we think we can do if we just take up the service of the Lord. And what does this mean? I'll conclude with this point, that we make the Lord's desire our desire. So empowerment, it comes when, like Prabhupada is saying, Krishna is asking what that Lord's desire becomes our desire. When this happens, there are two things. How do we know that the Lord's desire has become our desire? The Lord's desire is that we raise our consciousness, that our human consciousness be raised. So that happens in broadly two ways. Rather, there are two parts of the same thing. So one is we connect ourselves with the Lord. Krishna says, Mam Anusmara. That is where we do our sadhana. That is where we come for Bhagavatam classes. We study Srila Prabhupada's books. We immerse ourselves in Shastra. That is how we connect ourselves with the Lord. And by that, we ensure that our consciousness is raised. And the second is contribution. Then, after having our consciousness connected with the Lord, then we go out in the world and do various services. Some of the ways we are doing direct devotional service, where we distribute books, where we take care of the deities, we travel and speak. And some of us may have our social responsibilities, our family, our jobs. But even there, we act in a way that we help others in raising their consciousness. So this contribution Krishna talks about in 12.8 as direct. He says, work for me. So not 12.8. He talks about 12.9. He talks about, in 12.10, he talks about two levels. Either you work for me, if you can't work for me directly, you can't fix your mind on me, work for me. You work for me directly doing seva, or whatever work you need to do, you do that in a mood of seva. And in that way we make a contribution. So parents taking care of their children, raising them to be Krishna conscious, that is also a contribution to the Lord's mission. A devotee working responsibly in their jobs, by which people see, hey, this is a very well put together person. He's responsible, is calm, is he's a nice person. Prabhupada said, my followers are perfect gentlemen and ladies. People become attracted and then they ask, what makes you tick? And then when they see that what makes us tick is actually not a trick. It is a time-honored process. It is actually the mercy of the Lord. Then they become attracted. So in this way, connection and contribution. By both of these, we, each one of us, can become empowered by the Lord's mercy. And in that way, the devotees, individual devotees, each one can be a fulfiller in a small way of the purpose of the Lord's descent. And the Lord's love in this way remains in this world even when He is no longer there through His devotees. Sarvataha Panipadam Tat Sarvato Akshishiro Mukham Sarvataha Shrutimal Loke Sarvam Avrittitishtati. This verse generally refers to the Paramatma. Everywhere are His hands and legs. Everywhere are His eyes and ears. But Prabhupada in one lecture says, this refers to the devotees. The devotees of the Lord go everywhere. And in that way, the devotees execute the Lord's mission everywhere. And thus the unlimited love of the Lord is seen through His unlimited descents and also through His unlimited devotees who keep striving to fulfill His mission even in His absence. And that is the opportunity Srila Prabhupada has given each one of us as followers in his movement, to carry on the movement that he started, in which we all can raise our consciousness and help others raise their consciousness, to culminating in prema, love for Krishna. So I'll quickly summarize. I discussed the two first. Overall, we discussed how the Lord's love extends beyond his descents. That there are two purposes of his descent. There is one is a contextual or a specific purpose. That purpose works. It's for that time it works and it's over. And there's the universal purpose. That is to raise human consciousness. Specific is to establish dharma. Universal is to inspire prema. To raise human consciousness towards higher consciousness, towards spiritual consciousness. And that connection we discussed, that purpose is fulfilled not just by the Lord, but also by the representatives of the Lord. So this purpose of raising human consciousness to the spiritual level from the material level, that is also by the devotees. And they are always there throughout history. And how is that purpose fulfilled? By the devotees taking up the Lord's desire as their own desire. So the divine desire becomes the human desire. To the extent this happens, to that extent the human being becomes empowered. And by that divine, how do we do that ourselves? This is what Srila Prabhupada did. This is what Srila Prabhupada inspired many devotees to do. And we do that by connection. We do our sadhana to stay connected with Krishna, and then we do our contribution, our service to Krishna. And in this way, we all can elevate our consciousness and help others elevate their consciousness. Thank you very much. Hare Krishna. Any quick questions, comments?
I'll just move here. Hare Krishna Prabhu, it's a nice class. Thank you very much. Yeah, so thank you very much. I just want to make one point, just a comment. You know, in philosophy, there is something called as infinite regression fallacy. Like, whenever you're making any philosophical point, it should not have this fallacy of infinite regression. Let's say that everything has a cause. So let's say that everything has a cause, then even God has a cause. That means that there's a fallacy of infinite regression. So similarly, when we're also trying to explain the Lord's activities, it should not have this fallacy of infinite regression. And in this context, I want to read out something which is interesting I found out. This is by a philosopher named as Aquina. And then he says that, suppose every finite and contingent being has a cause, and that every cause is also having is finite and contingent being, then that leads to a regression. Yeah. So similarly, unless that cause is having first of all, there must be a cause which is higher, not infinite, then that will not lead to this regression. So similarly, when the Lord is coming also, if that is for a finite cause, then that leads to this regression. Like when Lord Ram appears, when Varaha appears, there should be even a higher cause. Just like we explained, the two purposes, there is a specific dharma and then there is a universal prema, which is higher than just Ravana, or which is higher than just Hiranyakshapu, Kashkashpu, then that will not have this fallacy of infinite regression. And that is very much important, that when we explain the Lord's activities and causes also, that it should be philosophically sound.
Yes, thank you. It's infinite regression. Contingent causes means, say, if you have a 100-story building, the 100th story is based on 99th, 98th, 97th. So each level will be based on another level. But ultimately there has to be a ground. You cannot just have a building with unlimited levels and no ground. So like that, now each level is finite. The ground is steady. The ground, that's the earth. So like that, all contingent causes have an ultimate cause, which is non-contingent. They have to have. Thank you. Sometimes this is called as a cosmological argument for the existence of God also. Slight variant, but related. Yes, Prabhu.
Hare Krishna. So you point out there is two purposes of avatars to appear. One is specific, established dharma, and another one is universal, you know, give prema. So can you, I just try to understand better, can you list the, I think question is maybe reasonable or understandable, can you list the list of, can you say list of avatars who are doing specific purpose, you know, and a list of avatars who are doing universal purpose? Or is it maybe combine, purposes and some particular avatar?
That's what I said, to say that each avatar has both purposes. Each avatar has a specific purpose and a universal purpose.
Every
avatar. So Parashuram comes to neutralize the Kshatriyas who have become very arrogant and autocratic. But then his Leela, when we remember those pastimes, the remembrance of those pastimes can elevate our consciousness. So we could say that there is a circumstantial arrangement that is the specific avatar. But the universal prema, now that is the legacy of his pastimes. The legacy of Leela that he leaves behind. So when we remember that those Leela, that's how we become elevated. So every avatar has both purposes. Okay. Thank you. Any other questions?
Thank you, Prabhu. So in explaining at the beginning about the descent of the avatars, and understand, so my question will be first analyzing that because of the mercy of Krishna, the avatars come. Because of the mercy of Krishna, the gurus come. Then organizations, of, not just us, but different groups have their prophets and avatars. So can we say now the question is that the failure of not achieving this is, my question is not understanding the mission of Krishna and the mission of the founder. Would that be the failure in our part, not understanding completely what does he really wants? And then we must misconstruct or we...
Yes.
Can you elaborate more?
Yes, if you see, generally... Whenever dharma gets lost, sakale neha mahata yogo nashtaha parantapa. So that dharma getting lost, it doesn't happen overnight that people are virtuous and next day they are vicious. It happens more that, say, if this is the purpose, there is a misdirection of the purpose. So that misdirection may be gradual, it may be incremental. It is that... Say, for example, the Vedas are given ultimately for raising human consciousness toward Krishna. Vedaishya sarvair ameva vidyo. So we can say the purpose of the Vedas is to take us towards Krishna. That is what Krishna himself says in the Gita, 15:15. But then we have, Krishna talks about people who are the karmakandis. They say, kamatmanah swargapara, that the purpose is to attain swarga. And not only that, they say, it's not one of the purposes. They say, na anyad astiti vadinaha. There is no other purpose at all. When they start saying that is when Krishna condemns it. Avipashchitaha. They don't understand. They're not discerning. Yes, that's what they talked about. But that's what is talked about in the Vedas. But is that all that is talked about? Is that the highest that is talked about? No. This is where Krishna starts reproaching those who take one part of the Vedic plan and make that into the whole plan. Going to Swarga. Yes, that is also one way people can be elevated. But that's not the primary purpose of Vedas. Similarly, in our moment, Srila Prabhupada had one mission to raise human consciousness. Now that mission, he tried to fulfill many ways. That was by distributing books, that was by building temples, having beautiful deity worship, that was by establishing farm communities, that was by giving the vision to have Gurukul schools, by having trying to establish Varnashram. Now different devotees can take one of these or part of these and work at them. And that's good. But if only one of these becomes our only mission, if we get so caught in deity worship that there are no, we have beautiful deity worship but there are no classes in the temple, there are no books being distributed, then deity worship itself can become a deity worship cannot be a deviation because we are worshipping the Lord. But in terms of the mission of the mission of Srila Prabhupada, deity worship can take people away from the holistic development of Krishna consciousness. Somebody can fixate on Gurukuls or Varnashram so much. It's wonderful to do that. But when one starts thinking, na anyat astiti vadinaha, that there is no purpose other than this. This is the only purpose. No. When Srila Prabhupada was asked what pleases him the most, he said, love Krishna. So when you love Krishna, that pleases me the most. So that raising our consciousness towards the Lord, that is the main purpose. So generally, misconstruing the purpose, that happens in increments. What it increments means, it's not that if this is the purpose, it's like a large set of processes. It's not that somebody will say something outside it is the purpose. That doesn't, that kind of deviation doesn't happen. But within these purposes, there are many, many, you could say Prabhupada has built a very big umbrella. And within that, we all take some small umbrella. And we take shelter of that service and we try to extend that umbrella to others. But then what can happen is, somebody takes this umbrella and then they claim this umbrella is the whole umbrella. That if somebody is not practicing Varnashram, that person is not following Srila Prabhupada. And then by this, or somebody not doing XYZ, whatever it may be. When one part is made into everything, that's where the deviation starts. And then after that, what happens is this one part becomes so important that for that one part, you may establish that part even at the expense of Krishna consciousness. So those who were Karmakandi Brahmanas, they took Vedic scriptures. They quoted from them, but they made certain sections extremely important. And after that, they made them more important than even Krishna. We have the Yagyik Brahmanas. They are doing yajna, which is very much prescribed in the Vedas. But they get so caught in doing yajna that when Krishna comes, a part is not just made the whole, the part is taken out of the whole and the whole is left behind. So that is what happened to the yajna brahmanas. So that is how there can be mission drift. Yajna brahmanas are an example of that. So if you remember, each of us have a service and we should feel that our service is important. Subjectively, we may feel that our service is the most important. That is fine. We want to offer ourselves to Krishna fully. But when we claim that my service is the only service, this is the only mission of Srila Prabhupada, then gradually, that's the way, we will start getting off track. Okay. So Aspur, you want to comment anything? Uttakarma Prabhu, any comments? Maharaj.
Great class.
Thank you very much.
Yeah, please, yeah. The person comes to me from the Bhagavad Gita as to why the Lord, why he comes, he states very clearly to deliver the pious and to reestablish, to deliver the pious and to annihilate the miscreants. And to reestablish the principles of religion, I myself appear millennium after millennium. That's his own explanation as to why he comes. And of course, each manifestation may be different according to time, place, and circumstances, as you mentioned, and the need that is required, like in this particular one, to lift the earth is a very, very difficult thing to do. So he made himself first little, but he became bigger and bigger and bigger, so big that he could go down into the ocean, yeah. And then he could put on his tusks. That was an important point, that he could put the earth on the tusks. So he created that form for that purpose, and then he floated it on the water. Of course, the question comes, as I mentioned yesterday, how could he float it? Because he's empowered to do that. He's empowered to do anything and everything that he wants to do. And if we can't do it, we should not be envious. We should just depend upon the Lord to become better able to fulfill his mission. That's all.
Thank you very much, Maharaj. Shri Prabhupada ki, Gaura Bhakta Vrinda ki. ஸ்தாய் கௌர் பிரமானந்தி.